You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Back on the wire, I've been joined by my producer, Sherry Zhang, in studio, just so we know that she's here. Hey,
hello,
Sherry.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm a bit sick at the moment.
Yes. Yeah. You'll hear that in all the interviews. Up next, though, a temporary prayer space has been set up at the law school by the Southeast Asian Law Students Association. Haya Khan is the president of the association, and she spoke with Sherry Zhang about why this was done, as well as explaining some of the rituals and practices within Islam, including the importance of Jumu'ah or Friday prayers, and what people who don't really know about Islam can do in response. Sherry started by asking if Haya had anything she wanted to say about the attacks in the past few days or how she's feeling.
I think it's really nice the way the universities come together. My friends, obviously, given the attack, I guess the underlying, even though we're trying to shun it, but ultimately the purpose was they're trying to suppress the religion, yeah. The whatever, but really it just had the complete opposite effect, and things have just grown, and the way people have come out for support, like, the prayer space got approved overnight, our budget got approved overnight, something that friends of mine have been trying to get done, not in just law school, just in the University of Auckland for ages. And, you know, this has just really highlighted the support. So that's been really good. I mean, you still get the odd person here and there being not very nice, but you can't do much about that other than just focus on the good.
That's good to hear. Yeah, why don't we begin with what does the prayer space mean to the community?
Okay. Yeah. So obviously the prayer space to the community is just a place of peace. It's a it's a place that's really, when you're praying, you're really disconnected from the world. Like, you're just there to pray, and you're just there to stop your routine of the world for 5-10 minutes and just, you know, focus on praying. And it's just routine for most people. Really is routine. So having that space, even given the light of events, even if they hadn't happened, is really important, because it's really open to everyone, and it's a way to see into the life of a Muslim, I guess. And I think that's really important right now, given the climate. It's really important for anyone who just needs to, I guess, clear their head. It's fairly quiet. I mean, you come in, you have some snacks. I mean, prayer spaces don't always have snacks, but we at the moment we have snacks.
What kind of snacks do you have?
we're probably grabbing more. We have some biscuits, we have some tea, so like the obviously this Indian style tea we have there. And I mean, yeah, it's really just a place to be at peace, and I think that's what everyone really needs right now.
Where is it situated at the moment?
It's in law school, so it's in the 803 building.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
And I guess, given the climate and the fact that you mentioned that, you know, sometimes there's the odd rude person, what protections are in place to maintain the peace and the kind of sanctity of these spaces?
I guess with the main prayer space in the University of Auckland, there's been a lot of police around the Science Center, obviously, which is where it is. And with ours, we're doing our best to maintain the fact that we're calling it a support space, because obviously the more we say it's a prayer space, that it still scares people, that people know, like, there might be an odd person coming there. But so far it's been really good. We haven't had anyone come up and say anything mean. No one's been harassed. Everyone's been really supportive.
It's so good to hear.
Yeah, and there's professors all around. I mean, you know, that's can't exactly have police down in the corridors, but that's the best we're offering, you know.
Yeah,
we're all there, the execs constantly there, so
yeah, it's good to know that the space is held and supported by the university, especially. Do you mind explaining a little bit about Islam and the kind of traditions behind it? Because I think, you know, I think there's still an element of, you know, people are wanting to respect and acknowledge the religion, but not sure how. So, you know, what are some things that we can do?
I think for sure is make your counterparts that wear a scarf feel safe. The reason women cover their heads is because it's a religious thing. It's a respect thing, and in all honesty, it's dynamic. I can't remember everything off the top of my head.
That's right.
But Yeah, the most I can say is that wearing a symbol, wearing a hijab is definitely a strong symbol of being a Muslim, as well as for the guys that have support of a proper like Islamic beard. And I have so many friends that wear their attire for Friday prayers. It's just part of being modest. I think Islam is very much centered around being peaceful and being modest, and this comes down to the way we live, the way we dress, the way we communicate. Everything about us being very humble. So I just, the best thing you can do right now is make sure you offer support, even if you don't know them. If you see a girl that's wearing a scarf and she feels uncomfortable, go and talk to her, pretend to be a friend. You don't know what she might not be able to say, but there might be someone around that's making her feel uncomfortable, or making someone, him, feel uncomfortable who's, you know, evidently looks Muslim. And I think this goes for not even just Muslims, the eventual like South Asian community, anyone that physically looks like they might be associated with being a Muslim. They've all felt that way. Like, I've had friends that aren't Muslim that have had stuff said to them. So I think I think that's just it. And with Islam, I guess, what are some questions that you're wondering about?
What are some traditions? Yeah.
So I guess the one tradition that people are probably wondering about right now is Friday. So Jummah prayers, which are like the Zuhr prayers, currently around 1:30. They happen every Friday. Obviously, that's the most, I guess, holy day for praying. We, for me, like in my family, I can't say for everyone, I know most people, my grandfather goes to the mosque. A lot of families, women go to the mosque as well. It's kind of like even if a Muslim forgets to pray or misses prayer, Friday is the most important day to pray. Like, it's the equivalent of, I guess, 10 a.m. Sunday church a lot of people. I mean, mind you, whoever listens to this, I'm not like a scholar, I'm not anything, I'm just going off by what I've been raised
with. I think that's more scholarly than anything, really.
It's like, this is where I've been raised. For me, growing up, when my grandfather used to go to pray Jummah, and if I was like, if we didn't have school or something, we'd, my grandma would have food ready when she got home, we'd all pray, and we'd all have a shower around midday and wear our nicest clothes and just spend family time. I think Friday prayers for a lot of people are really important about family time, which is why this event was so much more devastating, because it wasn't just another day. It was the day that people expected their families to come home and spend that family time together. And I think with Islam, that is a big, big thing for a Friday.
I guess with the fact that the shooting happened on a Friday, because I know with the police as well, they've been saying to avoid, you know, going to the mosque because of fears, right? And so how has the community responded to that? Because it's obviously very important, you know, to have that routine.
Yeah, my I know that mosques are open. Like, some of my local mosques, our friend sent me a Snapchat last night and he was at the mosque. And so I know that the community's gone back. I know that when the mosques were closed, people still gathered together at local houses to pray together, because it's just that important to not give prayer for them, like for every one of us. Like, I mean, you know, a lot of us with uni and everything, we don't necessarily pray on time, but even with this, it's urged us to even more go out there, go to the mosque and or get together and just pray. So I think it's really brought the community together, and it they've done their best to not let it disrupt their daily life. Yes, that's really just been it.
Yeah, with mosques, it's more than just a place of worship, right? Like, it's a place of community. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so mosques are generally gender segregated. With say my family to get a Ranami mosque, because that's the closest to us. So they're a place of worship. Like, a lot of the times when people, they have fundraisers or on certain nights, families hold dinners, and you'll just go, you'll pray, and then everyone, you won't even know all of those people, but they'll become a community, and you'll just sit down, everyone will help out, there'll be food, you'll be sitting on the ground, like I said, it's all very very humble, very modest. There isn't much furniture, you pretty much just sit on the ground, you lay out a sheet, and you have whatever utensils there to you, and you, it's a place, to me, I've always known as the place to go and meet people, like, worship and, you know, main, like, eat.
Yeah, eat. I'm glad so, food's such a central part of it.
Yeah. Definitely, like, you, that it's a way for, in a place where you're outside of your country as well, to meet your people, like, you know, no matter what race they are, the people of your community will be there and you'll get to meet them and you get to have the support.
One of my final questions is about Islam is, tell me a little bit about the different times of prayers and what they mean, because they mean different things, eh?
Yeah, so the first prayer we have is the sunrise, so that's Fajr. And that's basically you pray at sunrise. It's a shorter prayer, but obviously this changes with the sunrise time, and this needs to be before the actual sunrise. Mm. Then we have the afternoon prayer where the sun is like midway, and that's around 1:30. It obviously changes with the sun's timing. Mm. And then we have the afternoon prayer, which is just before the sun setting, so that's Asr.
Yeah.
And sorry, the earlier one was Zohar. I'm not sure what I said. And then Asr. So that's currently that's around 5:50, I believe.
Mm.
But usually it can be around 4:00, depending on the sun. Like it all follows the sun's time.
Right. So it's all in relation to the sun rather than
It's all in relation to the sun, so it's all rotating.
Mm.
And then Maghrib is when the sun is set, so it has to be after the sun set.
Yeah.
And that's currently around 7:40, I think.
Mm.
It's obviously going like earlier recently with the sun's timing.
Yeah.
And Isha is like just at night. So just before you sleep, I guess. So it's like when the sun's completely set. And that, I believe, is currently around 9:30 or 9. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess with daylight saving, the times will constantly be changing. Yeah.
Yeah, they constantly change. So that's when we fast in Ramadan as well. That's how it works. So we start it. We wake up and we have food and we pray Fajr, so that's before sunrise, and then we end our fast at Maghrib, so at sunset.
Okay, because Ramadan is coming up soon, is that?
Yeah, in May.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So yeah, Ramadan's a way to basically cleanse your soul. I guess the number one thing that I've always been told with Ramadan and my family is that it's a way to remember the people that don't have as much as you. Mm-hmm. Again, it's about that feeling, about that humbleness, about purifying your soul mainly. It's really a time that, again, it feels like you're constantly in worship. I mean, you wake up in the morning, again, family, you eat with your family, you pray.
Yeah.
And then most people stay awake. I mean, with classes, uni, and all, it's easier to stay awake.
Yeah.
And then you go about your day. It's more food and water. And then in the evening, you end your fast, which is at Maghrib. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember my old flatmate, he's Muslim, and I remember just throughout the day, he was like, oh, I'm so hungry.
Yeah, it does get like that. It does get like that. But luckily, in here in New Zealand, our fasts are going to, well, luckily might not be the word to use, but our fasts in New Zealand are going to be quite small, but compared to places like where this summer, they have it for very long.
Oh,
very
that's true,
long.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that goes on for 30 days.
Mm. Okay, when is Ramadan? It's coming up.
Partially May the 5th.
Okay.
So that also works with the moon timetable, so it goes back 15 days every year. So it's depending on the moon sightings. If the moon is sighted, the full moon, that means the month has changed, so Ramadan has started. So we really rely on that moon to...
Yeah, so, so you rely on the moon and the sun.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
No,
I was in Indonesia over the summer, and I remember like in the mornings, the morning prayers would be at like 4 or 5, and it's really like, because they broadcast it in Indonesia, so it was really beautiful, like, being able to hear it.
Yeah, I think there's a petition on at the moment to broadcast the Azan for this Friday.
Okay.
So I really, it would be a really nice way to show, like, solidarity to the victims, I think. Just a way to feel what happens in people's hearts. Like, I don't know if you watched the video of the prayer in Parliament.
No, I haven't, not yet.
It's on New Zealand Herald, and basically they read out a verse in the Quran, which was, you know, so about patience, and just that the ones that have passed are martyrs, and it's really inappropriate verse, and it just really helps bring peace into a lot of people's hearts, I think.
Yeah.
you're just hearing what that prayer was and having it before Parliament session started. So I think if you support the cause of broadcasting the prayer, definitely get behind it. Yeah. The link on the Salsa page.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. Where will it be broadcast?
It will be broadcast. I think they're urging all the mosques to be allowed to broadcast it, no matter where. Just the afternoon prayer, obviously, so just that one prayer. I would definitely, if people don't know, there's a call to prayer before we go to pray. So obviously, I don't know how to do it. I've heard it. Yeah. But if anyone's interested, just you should be able to search it up and find it. And it's something that if you want to get behind and allow the mosque to broadcast, to definitely sign the petition.
Yeah. Was there anything else you'd like to add before I wrapped up the interview?
I think just support each other. That's all. Like, I mean, we can get worried about people saying this and that, but as long as there's 90% people doing good, the 10% will eventually cancel out.
Yeah.
It's just about not letting that 10% grow.
That was Haya Khan, president of the Southeast Asian Law Students Association. I wanted to add here that today the first funerals are underway as we speak for those that were killed. This has been a huge source of further pain for the families of the victims, as the bodies have been subject to a murder investigation process. This means there was a delay in their return to their families, and this also means there has been a delay in the ability of the family to undergo their obligations under the Islamic burial traditions. An article on Newsroom outlined this, and I read from there. Dr. Anwar Ghani, former president of the Federation of Islamic Associations of New Zealand, said it was Islamic tradition to bury a dead person as soon as possible, within 24 hours in most cases. With the shooting taking place last Friday, it was now several days since many of the victims had died, with none having been buried. Something that Ghani said was a little too late for many in the Muslim community. Ghani is quoted here. We understand that there are a lot of issues that need to be taken care of from a justice perspective, but the delay is certainly a cause of anxiety in the community. End quote. The Islamic funeral process includes a number of rituals which must take place before the body can be buried. Ghani said the body would be washed, cleaned and slightly perfumed by people of the same gender in what is known as the ghusl. Then it would be wrapped in a kafan or white shroud with different sheets placed over parts of the body and tied in place. A funeral prayer, or Salat al-Janaza, would be said as the last rites before the body was laid to rest with the head facing towards Mecca. Wood would then be placed on top of the body before the grave was filled up with soil, Ghani said. Kashkari said organisers were currently planning for a mass Janaza prayer to take place on Thursday so the community could grieve together, with individual burials then taking place that day. However, it was possible that some families who received their loved ones would not wait until Thursday, with a decision on whether to have an earlier prayer ceremony and funeral left to each family. That was Sam Sachdeva writing for Newsroom, and indeed those funerals have begun, with 21 bodies having been returned so far, and the remaining police say they will be returned by the end of today. A number of volunteers and people from part of different Muslim associations have gone to Christchurch to help with this process. Sherry has just informed me that she's found online the petition that Haya was talking about. Where can people find it, Sherry?
So that is on our Action Station. I'm just going to do that quick Google.
So Action Station has set up the petition.
Yeah, petition. Hold on.
And so that's a petition that people can go and sign in support of having the call to prayer broadcasted throughout the country.
Our actionstation.org, and basically it's for the Azan, which is the call to prayer, and basically it says that it's a very familiar prayer call and very close to home to many Muslims, so it's a really great act of support, solidarity.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.